All right, good morning, Walker Bible Baptist Church. Here we are. A new feeling for me preaching to, an audience of one, but I am glad to be with you this morning. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope this is an encouragement to help you try to give it our normal church feel. I want to give you a couple announcements before we get into this morning's message, and wanted to pass on some prayer requests this morning. Certainly want to keep our local and federal government in prayer. They have some big decisions making on a regular basis, and certainly want to pray for wisdom for them. We want to pray for protection, specifically for doctors, nurses who are coming in contact with, they know harm's way on a regular basis. So certainly want to keep them in prayer. But also our missionaries. Been talking to our missionaries throughout the world. We have some missionaries in Italy, some missionaries in Spain, some that are over in China. So please keep them in prayer also. They're doing well. I've got no bad reports from anybody, but just keep them in prayer for safety of that. We're also praying for a speedy conclusion in all this. Certainly want this to wrap up quickly and finish and move on with things. But if you could pray that way, I think that is not praying amiss and out of line. I want to let you know with our school what's going on. This afternoon, I have a meeting with our staff, so I will be sending out some emails. You'll probably get the email before you watch this, but pray for our school as we make decisions. We have three different parties that we're trying to take into account. We have the staff, we have parents, and we have students, and trying to do right by it all, and also some guidelines coming down from our local government. So trying to make that all work. Again, my desire would be that we could just come to school and work normal, but I'm not sure how that is going to be going over the next short period of time. So appreciate the flexibility. I know anytime we change up normal routine and schedule, there's stress in that. And I am sorry. I am doing my very best to alleviate as much as possible. I feel like I send out an email and in the morning and by the afternoon I have to adjust it because something changed. But those things are really kind of out of my hands. I'm doing the best I can with that. Again, taking into account all of those factors. So just pray for us about that. This week's services are going to be like how you're seeing right here. Wednesday night, probably put another message on there, a little, maybe 15 to 20 minute, message, maybe from my office, maybe, right here, but, again, trying to do that, unless something, changes, that's the plan. I want to remind you about our online giving. You don't have to give online. You can still send in a check or something of that sort if you feel more comfortable with that. No problem at all. But we still want to keep our budget up and our missionaries. And I know this is, questionable times, but if we can keep with that, certainly would make it easier on our end for all of that. I want to tell you about something that I'm going to try this next week. I want to try and do something called Faces of Encouragement. I want to have a spot on our website. I was talking to Brother Salini already and Brother Bauman how we could make this work, but what I would like to do is, I've been communicating with a lot of you, and it's been great in hearing testimony of just little things that the Lord has done, or maybe you as a family could sing a song or have a scripture reading, something that would be encouraging to our church family while we're kind of separated from one another. And I would like to take those, you know, roughly less than 5 minute videos, upload them to a spot that we can log in on our website. And you can see this. You can, you know, see one of our family singing a song, or someone reading an encouraging verse, or hearing a testimony of something that the Lord has done for them over the last short period of time. So I thought it would be an encouragement. Yeah, we get to see one another a little bit and see the kids and all that. So if that works good for you, that would be awesome. Just send me that video. You can email it to me or text it to me, however is easier. And over this next week, we'll try and get some of those up, and again, be an encouragement to one another. I want to remind us of the importance of comforting one another. We talked about that on Wednesday of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, to comfort one another. Two words I want you to consider, I want you to think about with comfort. Number one, I want you to be considerate. That means thinking about how this might make someone else feel. And then number two, acting in compassion. Not everyone feels the same way as I do. Maybe I'm a little less emotional or something like that, but I cannot discount someone that isn't like that. Now, I don't want to feed into it or make it hysterical or crazy, but I do want to consider that. Consider where someone else is coming from. Hey, when you're in the grocery store line and you're waiting longer than normal, be considerate. Understand that there's a person in front of you and behind you. Opportunity to be compassionate. All right, so let's look to be a comfort. Certainly the Lord has comforted us and given us the access to that. All right, this morning, let's get into our message. Ecclesiastes this morning. Ecclesiastes. A little while ago, did a study with our young adults out of Ecclesiastes, and this is part of that study, and it was a blessing and a help and an encouragement to me last Sunday, and kind of turned it into a message. So get your Bibles out, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I want to draw our attention to one verse, a verse that has helped me multiple times. I got a hold of it, and it just grabbed a hold of my heart. We'll read the verse, and then we'll pray, and we'll see what the Lord has for us this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 4, "And to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope." Let's read that thought again. "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to preach your word. And although the circumstances and the look is different, Lord, I am thankful for the power of the word of God. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your kindness and care and love for us. And Lord, help us to be an encouragement, a blessing, a help to one another now. Lord, I pray that you'd minister to our hearts through your word like only you can. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 4, it says, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope." Before we get into our points, I want to have this thought in your head now. I want you to think about this. What is someone that is hopeless? It means there is no life. Here we tie hope and living. Hope and living. If you can take a breath, there's hope. There's hope. It gives us an illustration, an example to even better define this. It says, "For a living dog is better than a dead lion." Now, if we were to line up both of them side by side, alive, surely we would say that the lion is stronger. But no matter how small, how what we would consider insignificant, if there's living, there is hope. And all too often, let me say this, hope is a sign of life. If we become hopeless, how awful of a circumstance this is when a person loses hope. It's not too long before, well, unfortunately, they begin to question, is living worthwhile? What a sad, sad state someone could get in. The Bible says, though, to the living, there is hope. You know, I've for years and years worked with a lot of young people, and sometimes you'd see them maybe start making choices, and they would ask a question of why do you want me here? Why am I even, what's the purpose of coming here? And I would say something to this effect, because every chance that you're in service is another opportunity for you to make a decision for the Lord. And I'll keep you here as long as I possibly can. Why? Because to the living, there is hope. Maybe you have a wayward son or daughter, and every night you pray, maybe through tears, that they would come back to the Lord, and there's hope. Why is there hope? Well, there's hope because they're alive still. And if you're here this morning and you're listening to this, know this, there is hope. There is hope. I want to be clear, hope is different than a wish. Hope is, as we look at our definition, hope is a desire for some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable. It's a desire. It's a It's an idea that this is possible. It differs from a wish and desire in that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired of, or the possibility of possessing it. Listen now. Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy. How can we go through difficult times and still have joy? And we'll look at that verse, one of the responses of hope. How can we go through difficult times or discomfort or heartache? Maybe apart from the situation that we're currently living in, maybe you've read missionary stories or stories about someone that has gone through hard times and great suffering, but yet still had joy. Why? Because their hope was in something much greater than their circumstance around them. There's power in hope. Say, why do you say there's power in hope? There's power in hope because it can take a dismal circumstance and produce peace and joy and love and life. Let's remember that. Hope and living are directly connected. Number one this morning in the power of hope, the object of our hope. Psalm 42, I wrote these verses out. Normally I'd have you turn there, you know that. But just for sake of simplicity and reading and looking at things and helping things go a little smoother, I'll just read the verses to you. But you can look them up, certainly. Psalm 42 and verse 11. Psalm 42 and verse 11. It starts with a question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Oh, we could answer that question. Why am I cast down? Let me tell you why I'm cast down. The vehicle isn't passing inspection. I have bills due. I'm sick. This or that. The kids have been in the house driving me crazy. Why am I cast down? I have a whole list of things. And it's almost a rhetorical question. He asks, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? And he gives the answer. He gives the response. He gives us a way to get out. He says, if you're cast down, if that's how you feel this morning, if that's what you're experiencing or that's what's going on inside your heart, he gives us these four words, hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. Why? Because I know goodness comes from God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. That's quite a change from the beginning of the verse to the end of the verse. Why art thou cast down? We start off with casting down. The hinge point of that verse is hope in the middle. And what is produced? Praise. How can I go from being cast down and disheartened and lost? Why? Because my hope is in God. And the response is, well, now I have something to praise him about. Lamentations 3:24 says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Hey, if you're banking on the best that this world has to offer, you're going to come up short. At the end, when it's all said and done, you know what matters the most? What pleased God the most? Number one, of course, what did we do with his son, Jesus Christ? But number two, did we invest our life in the things that God loves? Say, like what? Like the stock market? Oh, no. Totally different investment. The investment into souls, into people, into his work. The object of our hope is him. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, the last verse that we just looked at in Psalm 42, why art thou cast down? Hey, that's a real thing. That happens. We go through seasons of life. We go up, we go down. Sometimes we're having good days. Sometimes we're having bad days. Sometimes we have good seasons. And sometimes we have tough seasons. Say, how long do those tough seasons last? I'm in the middle of one, or maybe I'm just, well, hey, there is no time limit. Sometimes we're just struggling for a period of time. But can I encourage you to never lose hope? You know, the Bible says, if we feel like we've lost hope, and Isaiah 40, verse 31, a familiar verse, but they that wait upon the Lord, look at now, shall renew their strength. To renew something means that I had lost it. It had expired. Like if we are to renew our subscription to a maybe an online service or remember magazines when we used to get, as a kid, I used to get Kids Sports Illustrated or Ranger Rick or something. And every year around the second or third left, what would happen? They would send you that little card. Send this in to renew. He says this, but they that wait upon the Lord, remember, number one, our object of our hope is the Lord himself. But they that wait upon the Lord, there I am looking to Jesus, looking to God for my hope. But they that wait upon the Lord, look at now, shall renew their strength. Subscription renewed. Hope renewed. Hey, if you feel like you lost hope, here's what you need to do. Number one, check your relationship with the Lord. Hey, we can go through hard times. I'm not saying that when we trust the Lord, everything's ice cream and wonderful. No, we still go through life. But the difference is that he's our strength. Yeah, and I told you, I like to read missionary stories, and I see some of the things Adoniram Judson locked up in prison for years and years. Well, an extended period of time. The heartache that he went through. Read you the story of Hudson Taylor. Out of their nine children, four survive. How was that? And how does he have some of the most inspiring words of all men to the work of God? Why? Because he had hope in God. And he would go through times. We read about George Mueller in Germany and how he had the orphanage and how his faith was tested day after day. And yet he would rely on the Lord and the Lord would come by and renew his strength. If I could encourage you, invest in your relationship with him. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Look at this. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Remember we said what happens when we lose hope. Hope is a evidence of life. And they shall run. Dead lion isn't running. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Again, if you're feeling here today, you feel like you've lost hope, get back to God. Maybe it's your first time getting to God. Turn to the Lord. Thirdly, number one, the power of hope. Our object of hope is God. He can renew our hope. The guardian of hope. Psalm 121 in verse 7, it says, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Who's responsible for the care of us? God himself. Do you understand that I cannot care for me as well as God can care for me? You cannot care for your children as well as God can care for your children. Psalm 28 verse 7 says this, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him." Next four words, "and I am helped." Say, what does that mean? Food going to show up in the house? Is something going to happen? A bill gets paid? Oh, the Lord helps us in ways that we don't expect. He gives us things that are intangible sometimes. Peace in our hearts. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. There's that relationship. And I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. And with my song will I praise him. All of these verses have similar patterns. I struggle. I turn to the Lord. I have a relationship with him. He encourages. And then there's praise. Time and time again. Psalm 9:10 says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee." There's the relationship. "For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." It doesn't say, "and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou," and fill in the blank with a person. Fill in the blank with a substance. Fill in the blank with an experience. Fill in the blank with a pleasure. Fill in the blank with anything else. No, it says, Lord, thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Do you understand that the Lord will never let us down? He'll never leave us alone. He is our guardian of hope. He watches over it. He is the provider of it. He is our strength. It is His name that we ought to trust. The result of hope. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says this, Now the God of hope fill you with all... Now look at now. So here we are. Our object of hope, we've recognized that it's God. We have placed our hope in Him. Even He's renewed our strength. Now as I have that hope, as that joyful expectation of things, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, believing. Years ago that we had this verse, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Abound in hope. God doesn't just give us a little bit of hope to get by. He gives us enough, the Bible says, to abound in. Abound in means an excess amount, overabundance. And what is the result of hope? Joy and peace. Joy and peace. It is the identifier. Say, I feel like I'm hopeless. Well, I'll tell you two things you'll miss out on. Joy and peace. There you are. Again, maybe you found yourself at the grocery store a little more frequently as of late, picking up a couple things here and there. And you're standing in line maybe a little bit longer than you normally do. Cashier next, they have gloves on or something. And again, just different times that we're experiencing right now. Everyone's a little on edge. Everyone's a little, selfish a little bit more, trying to get their things, right? And there you are, and you walk up, and how are you today? Fantastic, I'm wonderful. Really? Did you find everything you're looking for? No, actually, I only found a quarter of the things I was looking for. So why are you so happy? Well, because my hope is in God, not in this system. My hope is in God, not in the things that are going on around me. And God has produced joy and peace in my heart. I feel like I'm, my family would disagree, but for the most part, I'm pretty happy-go-lucky. Takes quite a bit to derail me. Maybe that's just my natural tendency and personality, but can I still say hope produces joy and peace? That is the result of hope. That's what happens when we recognize that God is able to sustain us, we trust Him, we develop that relationship, and then even in the difficult times, what happens? Joy and peace. The result of hope is joy and peace. God tells us in Psalm 119 and verse 114, Thou art my hiding place. I hear those two words and I think of Corrie ten Boom, young girl that was taken by Nazis into a Nazi prison camp, her and her sister living there. How did she have hope? How did she have hope in such a dismal, difficult time? How was that possible? She had a real relationship with God. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. Look at these next five words. I hope in thy word. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but all the verses that we've looked at, all of our points, all of our thoughts, all of our connections to hope have been resourced through this book right here. I hope in thy word. Know what I'm really banking on? That every promise God has ever made is going to be true. So why do you say that? Because I'm putting everything I have into it. Faith. But I hope in His Word. I don't hope in my abilities. I don't hope in my hope is not in my wit or intelligence or finances, certainly not. My hope is in the Word of God. Lastly, the response to hope. because of this, because of the Word of God, the change the Word of God makes in our life, we have a response now. That's how God always works. He gives us a principle. When we make it our own, it changes us. And then He expects us to do something with that. How often the gift of grace, what are we supposed to do? Then minister grace. When He gives us resources in our life, what are we supposed to do? Use them for good, for His calling. Well, hope is no different. We talked about that even at the beginning of this, with God's comfort. As God comforts us, what are we supposed to do? Then go comfort others. Hope is no different. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. Not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. My response is that I not be ashamed of the things that God has done in my life. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. And how do we answer? With meekness and fear. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope. What's got you so joyful this morning? Oh, let me tell you about my Lord. Oh, you must have found toilet paper. You must have hand sanitizer. You must have got in on this. You must have hit a jackpot with something. Oh no, I have a real relationship with the God of heaven. That is my hope. He is the object of my hope. See, when we place our hope in the Lord, that is something that can never be taken away. If I hope in an object, if my answer to life's problems are something temporal, you know what? What happens when that's gone? See, God never goes. So I will have an answer. I ought to have an answer to every man. And I ought to conduct myself in a way that leads others to ask, what's different about you? If I could encourage you, tell everyone. One of the early explorers of South Africa's ocean waters was Bartolomeo Diaz. He went around the Cape on a stormy sea, and he reported this. His ship was threatened to go to pieces, so he called the place the Cape of Storms, because that's what he saw. He's trying to make it around, and he almost lost his life, the ship. Years later, Vasco da Gama, who came later, changed the name of the place to the Cape of Good Hope. Why? Because he saw something different. He saw it as an opportunity to go to India. See, in our life, we're traveling away. The question is, what is our perspective? Do we have hope or are we hopeless? If we focus in on the storms of life, you know what we will be? It will be the place of storms. How are you living? I'm in a storm. Another person goes to the exact same place, and what does he call it? He calls it the Cape of Good Hope. Why? Because he saw what was on the other side. So you this morning, are you living in a way that you can see the other side? There's something waiting for us. Something wonderful and great. The God of heaven. Came to this thought this week. In our life, there's certain things that are just going to show up. It's part of life. Maybe it's the flat tire syndrome, or however it is, whether you're in church or out of church, people get flat tires. People get sick. There's sorrow. There's loss. That's part of life. There's heartache. Those things are always going to show up in your life. There's waiting. No one likes waiting. No one likes having to be patient on God. Maybe some of those sleepless nights or tear-filled pillow nights where you're praying for a loved one. Hey, those things happen. But included in that, Those things will always show up, but so is faith, joy, love, grace, God's mercy, and hope. There's hope. Last verse I want to leave with you this morning. My voice, Psalm 5:3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. Look at now. And will look up. If my attention is on the things that are going on all around me, you know what I take my eyes off of? God. Psalm 5:3 says, I'm going to begin my day looking up. Why? Because that is where my hope is. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word, how encouraging it is. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to walk and live in hope. Lord, if someone has been discouraged, Lord, I pray that you'd renew their strength. God, that they would develop a real relationship with you. God, help us to take that hope that you've given to us within our heart, the joy and the peace, and pass it on to others. That they too could have something to look forward to. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your kindness and love toward us. Lord, you're so good to us. Don't deserve it. So thankful for it, though. Lord, watch over our church family and keep them safe. Love them and miss them. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you soon.